Hello and welcome to SwissInfo.ch's programme for May the 31st. I'm Scott Kappa. Coming up...
Citizenship and nationality are just one aspect of our personalities.
But first, this week Eurosceptic and xenophobic parties made a splash at the European elections by taking a historic share of the vote in countries such as Britain and France. Much of this success was due to anti-foreigner, anti-immigration stances taken by these parties, according to specialists. In Switzerland, anti-foreigner sentiment has also recently made the news. In February, a slim majority of voters agreed to introduce immigration quotas, a decision that made headlines around the world and gave anti-immigration parties across the continent fuel for the European election campaign. The initiative called for restrictions because its main backers, the right-wing Swiss People's Party, said that too many foreigners were entering the country, especially from the European Union since the introduction of a free movement accord with the EU. However, the initiative did not say how the new system was to be implemented and put Switzerland on a collision course with the EU, as Alberto Ackermann, a professor of migration law at the University of Bern, told me.
And I think a big part of the yes voters, they thought, OK, we will have some margin of negotiation with the EU, it'll be possible to find a compromise. They didn't realize that this initiative and the text is completely opposite to the free movement idea, completely opposite. The free movement treaty and the philosophy behind is to facilitate mobility in Europe. And it's really the opposite of this initiative, who wants to control immigration and to introduce quota.
Now, the Swiss government and parliament have 3 years to introduce the quota system. How difficult is it going to be, or what are the difficulties that will appear in reintroducing this system?
It will be very difficult. The first difficulty will be that the European Union will not make any compromise on quota. That will be, or we finish with the free movement treaty, or we don't introduce this initiative. On the other side, even if you forget this question, the big issue will be how big this the number of the quota, how many people, how big will this quota be, 50,000 or 80,000, and how will be these quota places distributed among cantons, among industry sectors, among migrant groups, a quota for family reunification, a quota for labor workers, a quota for students, a quota for athletes, a quota for scientists. I don't know. That's tremendously difficult to fix quotas for all these different authorizations. We have a very complex foreigners law, aliens law, with about 40 different grounds for coming to Switzerland and different statuses and different authorizations. And now to bring all this very highly sophisticated system in a quota system seems me tremendously difficult.
One of the major sources of immigration in Switzerland, about one third, is family reunification. How much of a fight is there going to be about that particular issue?
That would be very interesting. I think that there will be a high pressure on the family reunification issue. A big part of family reunification are husbands and wives of Swiss citizens. That's about 10,000 marriages every year. Then for the other family reunification persons, or that will become quite more difficult then. Will the Swiss industry find skilled workers if they are not entitled to bring their families? Then you will have only usually badly skilled workers coming. That's not a very ideal situation. The system we have now, family reunification as a right, but as soon as possible, it's much better than new restrictions on the right to family reunification.
And that was Alberto Ackermann of the University of Bern. 1/5 of the Swiss population is made up of foreigners, so immigration is very much a fact of life in Switzerland. For one United Nations expert, limiting it will not make it go away either. François Crépeau, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Human Rights of Migrants, says that immigration is part of humanity's DNA. I asked him why immigrants had such a poor image if pulling up one's roots and moving abroad was so normal.
Migrants don't vote. Migrants don't get elected. They are not courted by politicians. Politicians don't promise them anything. And politicians cannot be punished by them. The problem is that if you don't vote and if you don't get elected, your ideas are simply not taken into account, or your needs are not taken into account. And migrants are there. Migrants are a group that cannot sway politicians. Politicians have been able to say stupid things on migrants for 30 years without any pushback. Jean-Marie Le Pen in France said 30 years ago, 2 million foreigners, 2 million unemployed. Meaning by that if we kicked out all the migrants, we would have full employment, all these people would have jobs, which is ludicrous in terms of economy or social science. But you ask most people on the street and they still believe that there's a correlation when there's not. And why is it that politicians are still able to play on those fears 30 years later when social science has demonstrated the contrary for 30 years? It's because the migrants are not talking. Migrants are not saying anything. Because migrants, the best strategy for most migrants is to let go and move on. So don't make a fuss. Just disappear in the tapestry. Don't get seen. Don't get identified. Move on.
Is this also because the political rhetoric surrounding migration has also tended to put migration in terms of crime or illegality, that there's something wrong with migration per se?
I mean, migration has been portrayed as an anomaly, as something that, you know, happens now but shouldn't happen. Migrants have been portrayed as a threat from abroad. I mean, it's the age-old fear of the invaders. The language we use for migrants collectively is a liquid language. We talk about flows and fluxes, and we have to dam the flow. We have to prevent migrants to the invasion of migrants. Because if you talk about flows or waves or tsunamis of immigrants, it's an indistinguishable mass. There's no individualities. And migrants are often portrayed as a collective group. And you will hear people say there are too many Arabs or too many Muslims in this country. Oh, but Muhammad is a good guy. Because when you individualize the situation, people recognize the individuality and will like the people. But as a collective mass, you say, oh, there are too many Muslims. This threatens our identity. But individually, you like people. So this dichotomy between the mass and the individual is something for which, I think, against which women have worked, gays and lesbians have worked. They have said, we're not a collective. We're all individuals. Migrants are still portrayed as a collective. Migrants take jobs. Migrants bring illnesses. Migrants bring in their security problems of their countries, like terrorism. Migrants increase insecurity and local crime. Migrants do all this. And this portrayal, these myths, these fantasies, go uncontradicted, because the most interested in that debate simply don't respond, don't say anything. And we citizens don't mobilize for migrants.
One of the proposed solutions often for what are perceived as migration issues or problems is better integration or faster track citizenship. Are those real solutions in terms of accepting migration, or is it just a way of hiding it?
What is important is to listen to the migrants themselves. What do they want to do? Do they want to settle in this country? In which case, we should provide them with the tools for settling in. which would be integration tools, making sure that they speak the language properly, and we should offer language courses so that this can be accelerated, making sure that they're integrated in the labor market. It is the first, I think, requirement. If they are selected because their professional experience and expertise corresponds to needs in this country, we certainly should provide them with some form of permanent residence, which would lead to nationality quickly. We have to demystify the issue of nationality. What is nationality? What is belonging to the country? For the migrants who want to settle, and settling doesn't have the same meaning as it had, you know, in the 50s, when you came from Italy to Canada, you settled for life in Toronto or in Montreal. This is over. People will settle for 5-6 years, and maybe they'll stay 30 years, but maybe not. Maybe they'll move on somewhere else. And this mobility is a good thing. That's what Europe is fostering within its territory, that people be mobile, go where the jobs are, go where their experience and expertise can be best mobilized for creating wealth and creating arts, etc. And that means that the public discourse by politicians about citizenship also has to change. You have rear guard combats about, you know, we should not trust people with multiple citizenship. We should not allow people with multiple citizenship to choose a citizenship of convenience, as if a lot of people did that. It's another myth on which populist nationalist movements are striving.
So in a sense, if I understand you correctly, you're separating the idea of citizenship from that of identity.
Identity in the past 200 or 300 years has been often reduced to national identity and has been reduced to your belonging to a state. And we have made this national identity as the supreme criteria for identifying people. I think citizenship and nationality are just one aspect of our personalities. We are all, depending on who we are, male or female, old or young, an artist or a banker, gay or straight. We all have different aspects of our personalities. And we have to come to recognize that citizenship is only one aspect of that. Many people leave their country, which they love, because they marry someone from another country and they move to the other country. It's not that they don't love their country of origin. It's because another aspect of their personality is more important at this time of their life. And so we have sort of to distinguish and to demystify again the idea that nationality is the ultimate allegiance.
François Crépeau, the UN Special Rapporteur on the Human Rights of Migrants. That's all we have time for today. We hope you enjoyed the programme. For more news and background about the immigration issue, as well as Switzerland's turbulent relationship with the European Union, please visit the swissinfo.ch website. Thanks for listening. I'm Scott Kappa, leaving you with Supertramp's Goodbye Stranger.